Into the Blender, episode 20.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
It really doesn't matter at all.
This is Chooch.
And this is Viv.
And we are down in the burrow in Freezer Central.
Oh my god.
Not because it's cold.
Because it's freezer fail.
Today we learned you need to periodically check the thermostat on your standing freezer. Probably a good lesson for refrigerators and other freezers.
I think we just need to super glue it in place so the dial can't get turned accidentally to off.
Apparently, when you reach to get things out, occasionally it
spins the dial,
unless it's some kind of shimmy thing that happens, because sucker went off.
Off. And we've already thrown away about $50 or $60 worth of food.
Mm-hmm.
We have about another $300 worth of food that we're desperately trying to save. So I may be cooking like a freak all day tomorrow, but that's been our last hour. But you guys didn't like tune in to hear all that.
No.
That's just our little excitement and delay. delay.
Mm.
It's never a dull moment.
Nope.
Ever. Well, and it's been 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we had planned on actually recording it a couple days ago, but yeah, it's been an exciting 2 weeks. Backing it up a little bit to what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I think we have not yet talked about our tribe day.
No, we didn't last time.
Our day o' tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an awesome, awesome day.
Yes.
We had planned quite a while ago to attend the Can't Stop the Serenity event, which actually turned into a full day of fun.
Yeah.
Because we started out with lunch at DFH, which is the Dogfish Head Brewery.
Yes.
And that was in celebration of Heather Welliver's birthday.
Yes.
She is the singer of The Shillas. She does tons of voice work in various audio books, podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff. She's in Chasing the Bard and 100 other things.
Yeah.
She also appears on Grail Wolf's Geek Life, which is a geeky news podcast done by her husband, Grail Wolf, a.k.a.
Mark Bailey.
Yes. And we love them to pieces. They're just sweetness personified.
Super couple.
Yeah. So we were actually at different ends of the table.
Right.
So why don't you talk about how the lunch was for you?
Yeah, we ended up there a little late and were right in the middle of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so I circulated a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We got to meet part of Heather's family, her brother
and
sister-in-law and their kids.
Oh, they were so cute.
Mm-hmm. I ended up floating around to the head of the table.
Right.
To be able to really spend some time and talk with Mark.
Because
we've met at a couple different events, but never really had a chance to really talk.
And you guys, I swear, are like twins separated at birth or something, because you guys are just so sweet and so cool and so similar.
Aww.
That I just love that you had some time with him.
Yeah. And Heather was floating around too, because, you know, it was her birthday.
That's right. It was her day.
Everybody had to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, really great time.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And so actually right up there, Paulette was there at that
Paulette
end.
Paulette Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Scott and May Breakall were hanging there. Max was hanging there.
Max from Richmond. I don't know how we should call him.
Yeah.
Max of the unknown last name, who I happen to just love. I think Max is amazing and sweet and cool.
We've had a lot of fun hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really mostly that end of the table.
Yeah.
And I floated back to the middle of the table where you were hanging out, talking with
Nobilis.
Nobilis
and his family. And I just think Nobilis is just one of the nicest, kindest, like, he's just an amazing spirit. He's just so sweet. And so I got to talk to him. I haven't really ever gotten to talk to him before. and also command line, and mm-hmm. his gorgeous wife, his amazing wife, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
And Max was I think, on the other side of Andrea.
Yeah.
So we all got to talk a little bit, and it was a lot of fun getting to know, because I haven't gotten to spend a lot of time with Tom and Andrea. Mm-hmm. And that was the longest conversation I've ever had with Tom. And I just was really kind of charmed by him. And of course, Andrea, who's just amazing. And she and I had a really surprising moment where we bonded over some personal private events that had happened in both of our lives that were very similar.
Yeah.
And that we were both, I really felt really touched and connected to her. So that was a really neat moment for me. And not neat, like, woo, this is fun. But it was just like, I was able to express things that I felt like nobody ever got, really understood. And it was about the death of my mom. Mm-hmm. And she was saying things back to me. And it was just like, she really understands.
Yeah.
And it was just like a real sense of connection that I haven't felt on some of these issues before. And it really touched my heart. So yeah. I was really glad for that time, even though we were both like, oh my God, we're sitting here tearing up and crying in the middle of this birthday lunch, and that sucks. But it was just a really poignant moment that I appreciated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot of fun. Other than that, I mean, it was a really great moment. But other than that, it was just really great to get to know them more. And it was just a really fun time, I think.
Yeah.
Then after that, and there were more people there. But that was just who was near me.
Yeah.
And then we had our tickets already purchased for the Can't Stop the Serenity event, which is, of course, Joss Whedon's movie Serenity, which was based on the show Firefly. Mm-hmm. We are huge fans of that.
Yeah.
And there's an annual event that is thrown on Joss Whedon's birthday or around his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to benefit his favorite charity, which is Equality Now. We attended the Can't Stop the Serenity event held at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House.
Yeah.
And Equality Now actually is a charity that works to end violence and discrimination against women and girls around the world through the mobilization of public pressure. Issues of concern to Equality Now include rape, domestic violence, reproductive rights, trafficking, female genital mutilation, political participation, gender discrimination. So it's all like pretty fierce stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very serious subject matter of this charity, but he's found a way to raise money for it in a really fun way. You've got a lot of people that are devoted to the Firefly and the Serenity world, the lore and the characters and all that stuff. And so it's just a great way for everybody to get together, watch this amazing movie and have fun, and also throw some money at a really amazingly wonderful charity.
One of the fascinating things to me is I don't believe that Joss has ever been directly involved in this. He didn't organize it. It was the fans who came together who really wanted to see Serenity again and said, hey, well, if we're going to do it, let's really do it.
And raise funds.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. There were actually 9 of us that decided to go to that, and we went immediately after the DFH lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we stopped by Paul and Martha's house for a very brief visit, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So we stopped at Paul and Martha's, and then we went to Arlington Cinema and Draft House in Virginia. There were 9 of us, including Paulette Jackson, Mark and Heather, of course, Mistress Jet, is what I'll call her, because that's
Ninja
the name
Jet,
she goes
who
to. Ninja
was
Jet.
Was suddenly there, and we didn't know she was going to be there.
She just was there. She's to sneak source.
She lives many hours north of there.
Yeah.
And was a surprise for Heather's birthday.
Yeah.
Ta-da, Jet's here.
Yeah, it was really cool. And of course, Scott and May Breakall and Max came also. Mm-hmm. So there were 9 of us that attended together. We had a lot of fun. Heather won a door prize, which was perfect because it was her birthday celebration. Uh-huh. It's like, it couldn't have been planned any better. So that was really fun, sitting there drinking appletinis and watching Serenity and having a good time.
Yeah.
So then after that, we went back to Paul and Martha's house. And Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway they're kind of the superpowers behind Dancing Cat Studios. They've also got numerous podcasts. They've got the Balticon podcast. Yeah. They've got the ADD cast. Serve It Cold is a novel.
A audiobook,
A audiobook that they produced and put out. And I'm sure There's a lot more.
Yeah, there's a couple other books that they've been producing.
They are
a sequel to Cervicold.
They are a force of nature, that's for sure. Definitely a force of nature. And there were lots of folks there.
They were hosting a gaming day event. Mm-hmm. So they had friends from all over the state.
That they regularly get with to do gaming, mm-hmm. tabletop gaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they had put out a call and invited us to come by. And there were lots of folks there. And I didn't get to chat with hardly anybody but the people I already knew.
Right.
But we did get to spend some time with Greg Wright, who was the organizer for Balticon 42.
Yes.
And
he's the con chair.
Right. He's such a funny, kind, and sweet guy that I was really glad we got to spend some time with him there.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually introduced us to our new obsession, which is called Blockus Trigon, which is a tabletop game. Mm-hmm. If you see it, you probably think Tetris, but it's like a puzzle game and strategy game where you're playing against other people and it's addictive. It was really fun to get to hang out with him. I wish I'd gotten to know some of the other people there, but they were pretty intent on the different various games they were playing. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. We hung out there for a good long time. Then we all kind of split up and went our own different ways.
Yeah. And we had mentioned in the last episode, because we had kind of come straight home from that, we had made our movie stop, and mm-hmm. so we had talked about the movies last episode.
Right.
But so this is what we were doing before that.
Right. And then that next week, we hit 50 in City of Heroes for the second time.
Yes.
So that was exciting. We had a great listener meetup over that weekend with our mm-hmm. COH podcast listeners and had way too much fun. So that was really great. Then we went and visited Scott and May at their house after the listener meetup
mm-hmm.
and enjoyed some NAMI chili.
Oh,
it was
yes.
to Nom Nom. It was very good that May made. And we played Arkham Horror for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was the Breakalls, and it was Max, and then the two of us.
Yeah. We didn't make it terribly far in the game.
No.
But we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun that night. And we didn't, I think we played for over an hour, which is not very long for that game.
Yeah.
But we have a basic idea of what the game is, and we look mm-hmm. forward to trying it out again.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday was our pre-surgery party for RD.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was the one where he got to pick out the menu, and we talked about it on the last episode.
Yeah.
Another thing, well, it was really just obscene. They had these giant pizzas. I think that they're like, we took a picture. I think they're like 28-inch pizzas.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, I think the box actually said 28 inches, which is just ginormous, as mm-hmm. our niece would say. And lots of junk food. He got to pick whatever he wanted. And then when he was done eating, and they were actually, he and one of the other boys, one of his friends that was there, they actually were having a contest
right.
to see who could win their little eating contest. They would eat and eat and eat. Whoever threw up first lost.
Right.
But then they called it a draw because they both had stomach aches and couldn't eat another thing.
And they couldn't throw up.
And they couldn't throw up, yeah. And which is kind of a shocking thing to let a kid with Crohn's disease that's about to have, you know, 10 centimeters of his colon removed for him to do that. But you know what? You're already going in there.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let the kid enjoy himself. And then surprised.
The easy cheese was flowing.
Oh, yeah. You hurt yourself with the easy cheese.
Yeah, apparently I get acid reflux from too much easy cheese consumption.
Yes, and yes, it was a bad night for Jushi. He had to tummy aches. And it was cute because when RD was done eating, he didn't even ask. We went back in the house and he had already cut into that cheesecake that I made for him. And he was like, don't mess with me. I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had fireworks for him.
Yeah.
Since he was going to have to be in the hospital over the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
We did a yard display of fireworks, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
Really fun. And remember the little girl? The little girl that was hopping around so excited. She couldn't have been 3 or 4 years old. She was just like, woo, and jumping up and down and singing little songs with the fireworks going off. It was cute. And then our niece's birthday was the next day. So I actually ended up making 2 cheesecakes for that party.
Mm-hmm.
One for her.
Of course.
And one for everybody else to share. And she took a fork and she started eating that cheesecake right off the plate. Mm-hmm. She didn't even cut off a piece.
That one was hers.
That was hers. Mm-hmm. And then RD's surgery was the next day. So I went up there and spent the time with them. I got to see him before he went in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we talked about it here on the podcast, but when I twisted my ankle...
Mm-hmm.
You had bought me that
mm-hmm.
bunny, that stuffed bunny.
Right.
And I named it Boo Boo Bunny.
Right.
Boo Boo Bun Bun, actually.
Yes.
And I just loved it. And
BB squared.
BB. So I really love that. And so I thought, I want to get him a boo boo bun bun, but he's a boy.
Right.
So I got him a boo boo froggy. I got him a really soft stuffed animal froggy, and I gave it to him. And I thought, you know, he's almost 12, and I thought he's just going to roll his eyes and say, oh, thanks.
Right.
But no, he looked at it and then he grabbed it, and then yep. it was his. And I also got him some little trial sizes of that Axe body spray. And I said,
yeah.
Here, RD, I said, you got to keep those nurses interested. Give you some sexy spray and, you know, keep those nurses coming. And he just giggled and said, can I spray some now? It was like, oh, maybe after the surgery.
Right.
Lots of waiting with his parents. And then their best friends were also there. And, you know, we all were kind of rallied around them. And you, poor thing, were at work. And then you left early to come and see how he was doing. Because you were going crazy worrying for him, too.
Yeah, I was not concentrating at work. It was not easy.
And we didn't have any news for a long time. It was a 2.5-3 hour surgery. They did take out about 10 centimeters of his intestines, mostly from the small, a little bit from the large. And then they took the appendix because it was in the middle of what they removed.
Right.
He was in the hospital for about 4 days. And he is just amazing.
Yeah.
He fought so hard. It was just really shocking because, you know, he just had surgery. He's in recovery. He goes to the room. He is dazed. He is drugged, majorly drugged. And the doctor said, well, I'd like him to get up out of bed and sit in the chair tomorrow. He decided, okay, I'm going to get up now. And he literally, it was the day after the surgery. And I was there with his mom and his mom's best friend. And he decided, I want to get up now. It had been less than 24 hours after the surgery. And we were like, okay, well, you know, we'll get you up. And he said, no, I want to get up now. And he started moving like he was going to get up out of that bed. And he had just taken his pain meds a few minutes before. I said, give the pain meds a few minutes to kick in. Because this is not going to be pain-free for you. And this will help take the edge off. So he gave me about 10 minutes of like, all right, there's your 10 minutes. And then he started moving. And he moved and it hurt like hell. And it was so hard to see it. And he still did it.
Yeah.
He got up again that night. I was worried he wouldn't want to get up that evening. And his mom and I were talking about that. It was time to get up in the evening. He got up and he did it. He doesn't ask. He doesn't say, should I now? He says, I want to do it now. And he does it. And then the doctor said, I'd like to see him walking tomorrow. So the next morning, he wakes up around 6 a.m. and says, I want to go for a walk now. And by God, you can't tell that child no when he wants to get out of bed. You can't say no. He wants to get in motion and heal because he knows the sooner he's moving, the sooner he gets to go home.
Right.
I've just never... It was amazing. The spirit that he had was just remarkable.
Yeah, because he knew it was going to hurt.
He did. He knew.
He powered through it.
Yep. He really knew that second time he got up, and then he really knew it was going to hurt when he walked, and he walked twice the next day. Once just to the bathroom and back, just to kind of look around and see his room, and then to the end of the hall and back on later on in the day. So he really fought through his recovery and did a remarkable job. So I spent the next couple of days going back and forth to the hospital, bringing him gifts. I would bring him a little something every day. I kind of planned it out based on how drugged is he? How awake is he going to be? And he really enjoyed that. And I actually, we had a lot of people that gave us some really encouraging notes to pass on to him, prayers, well wishes, and stuff like that. So I actually made a poster board and I put on the top of it, I said, get well soon wishes from people you've never met. And I took the emails and I took the Twitter messages that I'd gotten and pictures that some of our COH podcast listeners had sent in with well wishes. And I made him a poster and I hung it in his hotel, Oh, I wish. In his hospital room. And also a Guitar Hero 3 poster. Cause I thought, I told him it was so, oh, it was so cute. I got there and he was asleep and I was hanging it and I was talking to his mom and her best friend. And he kind of opened his eyes and he looked at me and I said, hey, big man. And he said, I thought you were a doctor. And I said, well, I did bring you some medicine. And I pointed at the Guitar Hero 3 poster and I said, this is to encourage you to get better soon so you can come home and kick my butt on Guitar Hero 3. And he kind of smiled and went back to sleep. Poor little guy was so drugged. But yeah, he got home about 4 days later and just trooper, like nobody's business. So thank you to everybody that said prayers and sent well wishes. That really helped me a lot. You know, one person said, why would, you know, it's probably freaking him out that all these people are talking about him. it did make him feel better. He loved the sign. Mm-hmm. And it certainly helped me. It certainly helped me stay strong to help him and his family. So thank you to everybody.
Yeah. Actually, he was here at our place for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And because something was going on. And I had come home from work. You know, I'd come in and say, oh, hey, you know, how you doing? How you feeling? All right.
Yeah.
And are you sick of people asking how you're feeling yet? Therma, no, not really.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
One time when he woke up in the hospital, I'm sitting there. His mom's sitting there. Best friend is sitting there. He wakes up and he immediately looks around to see who's there, which is what he did every time. Is mom here? You know, in his mind, it was, is mom here? Mom's not here. Is dad here? You know, those were the two he was really seeking out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he opens his eyes and he looks around and he sees us, and then he just kind of relaxes. You know, you could see him physically relax when he would see his mom or his dad in the room. And I said, are you going to be glad when you can wake up from a nap and you don't have a bunch of people staring at you? And he kind of smiled and he kind of got real quiet and then he nodded his head. Yes. So he doesn't mind people asking about him, but he doesn't like all the sleep watching. So little guy likes his privacy, you know? Mm.
The operation and everything happened before 4th of July. And that's why we had this special day with the fireworks. So
yeah,
he was actually in the hospital on the 4th.
Yeah.
And we knew that was going to happen. That's why we had the fireworks.
Yeah.
This party.
Yep.
So the 4th actually came around for us. Mm-hmm. We made it a movie day.
Yeah. We decided not to go see him because a lot of people had said, oh, I've got the day off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go visit him. So we thought we'll give everybody space to visit him because I had been hogging him.
Right.
Every day since his surgery.
Mm-hmm. And then we would try to get there another day when people couldn't get there.
Exactly. So he always had
And then
visitors.
Boom, he was going home.
I know.
Which was awesome.
Awesome.
Earlier than we thought he would.
Yeah. Yep.
So we went and saw, oh, that's right. We went and saw Indiana Jones.
Finally.
We wanted to catch that before it was leaving theaters, and it seemed like that was going to be the last weekend.
Yeah, because it had been out since Balticon weekend.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually, it was only showing a couple times at the theater that day.
Yeah.
And we went in the theater, we saw it, and saw it. It was packed.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we were kind of going back and forth on what to do. We walked out of that and realized Hancock's showing in like 20 minutes.
What the heck?
Why don't we just grab some food here?
Yeah, because we were going to go out for dinner and it's like, well, we could stay here and nibble on movie theater food and see the movie, or we could go somewhere else and have dinner.
So we ran right back to the booth, One of us ran to the booth and got Hancock tickets. You went in the line, got some food.
Yeah.
And then we jumped into the theater and watched Hancock.
What were your thoughts? I mean, we've talked about it, but talk about what you thought about Indiana Jones 4.
Mm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't hold up to Raiders.
I agree with that.
Or to Last Crusade.
I think I agree with that. I might put it on the same as the third one.
It was a lot of fun. There were a few things that were kind of cheesy, but it was definitely an Indiana Jones movie. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Harrison still got it. And there was a couple things that bugged me a little bit that seemed
trite.
Yeah. Kind of contrived because each of the movies have those moments where Indy's kind of spouting some history and they're doing some exposition to get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene they had where they're in like the soda joint.
Mm-hmm. With Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. And so they're laying out some exposition, some history, and it just didn't really feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really flow that
well. Well, it was an action.
Yeah, but those scenes aren't action, but it just didn't, I don't know. There was something odd about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, there was another part where Indy was doing the research and the gears were turning and he was putting one and one together.
Yeah.
And he had the extra exposition there where he's talking about history. And that had the same feeling to me as the original Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So parts of it were hit and miss.
Yeah. Well, and I took a lot of grief for my opinion that Indy 4 was a good movie when we went and met up with some friends later on in the month. I took a lot of grief. They rolled their eyes. How could you like that? Oh, right. I liked it. It's an Indiana Jones movie. Mm-hmm. It's not Citizen Kane.
Right.
It is, in my opinion of the Indiana Jones movies, it's like a Saturday matinee back in the, you know, 50s or the 40s.
Right.
It's a popcorn matinee kind of thing. I go into it with no expectations. I did not like the second Indiana Jones. The aspects of Indiana Jones 4 that I didn't like were the aspects that were similar to 2, where it was just too much. It was just, oh, did they really? I mean, you and I actually looked at each other a couple times like, oh, they went there, you know?
Just do that.
Yeah, it was too schmaltzy or too, you know, over the top. But it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. And I understand there are a lot of people that were disappointed. They were expecting so much more. I had no expectations. So I could just, in my opinion, I viewed it a little bit more on a pure level without any opinions before I went in. Because we'd heard good things. We'd heard bad things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, meh, we'll figure it out for ourselves. So I really enjoyed it. Took a lot of flack for it. But it's my opinion. I enjoyed it. I'll see it again. We'll buy it when it comes out on DVD, I'm sure.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. I've had a crush on that man for too long not to buy it. I think I was preteen when I first laid my eyes on that man and went, you know, all Twitter-pated.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hancock. What'd you think of Hancock?
That was a lot of fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Definitely not anything like your standard superhero movie, which...
You knew.
We knew. Yeah. But, I mean, I liked that they really took it way different than all the other superhero movies, for instance. And this is something that Mark and I were talking about when we were at the DFH thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I liked about The Hulk was how all of the superhero movies have fallen into the formula. They've fallen into the origin formula.
Right.
And that's the way it has to be. And you have to reboot and relaunch.
Yeah.
And we have to show everything and get people engaged. And Hulk didn't do that. It was just like the TV series was. Mm-hmm. Where you got the opening credits with this kind of montage about how he got there. But you jump into the action where it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Hancock was like that, where it actually started, where he's kind of washed up. Mm-hmm. And he's just who he is.
And you don't know why.
And, of course, they made that part of the plot where he doesn't know why either.
Right.
And that feeds into why he is how he is at the beginning. And so I kind of like that aspect that kind of shook everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it took a kind of a dive towards like the last third or last quarter of it. There's a plot element that I thought was really obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you get the foreshadowing, the clues, the looks, the glances.
Mm-hmm. And then they go down that road, and I don't know.
I liked that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I liked that part of the storyline without going into any spoilers or anything like that, which I think everybody's seen it that's going to now. Mm-hmm. But I actually enjoyed that aspect of it. It was taking a standard formula and flipping it around, which I enjoyed that. It was different. It was unexpected. Other than the clues that they give you, it's not the standard thing you see, in my opinion. You do see it, but it's not the machine, the superhero machine, the formula, the marketing plan, the, you know, Taco Bell marketing and all that stuff. It was very different in that aspect of it to me.
And during the movie, I was I was buying everything in the movie. I was lost in it, and I wasn't, worried about plot holes or anything like that. I was fully engaged.
Yeah. You really care.
Enjoyed it. And then after it, I was thinking, then I started thinking of things. Well, if this is this way, then I don't know if that would really be that way. And what would happen now if this or that? And
yeah. Well, and hardly anything stands up to that kind of scrutiny.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Do you think the Hulk stands up to that kind of scrutiny?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think Iron Man did. I think the Hulk did.
Oh. I don't know where I would put Hancock in those. I think I would go Iron Man number one, Hancock number two, and the Hulk number three, because I like Will Smith more than I like Ed Norton. What's his name? Ed Norton, right? They came out into my existence around the same time. I'm always confusing the Norton and the Burns. Sorry, people. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was good. And I adore Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. I think I'm probably his biggest fan in the world because he doesn't get a lot of play.
This is true.
He doesn't get talked about a lot. I just love him. I mean, Arrested Development, which right. was funny because I didn't even know Charlize Theron was in Hancock.
Right.
Which she was. Mr. And that was cool. F. And she was also on Arrested Development for yeah. a brief period of time where he played her sort of boyfriend. It was right. a weird little dynamic there. Funny, funny, funny. If you haven't seen all that stuff, you need to go. If you haven't seen Arrested Development, yeah. shame on you. You should have and yes. go get the DVDs.
Yep.
In my opinion. So that was, I really enjoyed our little back-to-back movie spree. That was mm-hmm. fun. We got home later and the skies had opened up. It was pouring rain. We yeah. decided to completely skip any fireworks that were going to go on that night for the 4th of July celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up logging into City of Heroes and playing with our friends and having yeah. a blast.
And then
hearing the fireworks. And we were on a task force. We were on this like thing that we couldn't easily disentangle ourselves from without letting down the entire group we were teamed with. Mm-hmm. So we heard them, but couldn't even go outside to see if we could view them from our house, which we usually can. So we had total firework fail. But we had already seen them for our nephew's yes, party.
That's right.
Well, and the thing that delayed us from recording this a few days ago and having it edited and in the feed today, which is Sunday, was that Artie's sister, our niece, LM, let's call her LM for little mama.
Okay.
Because I've been calling her that for years. That's the funny thing. So LM, pregnant, due in August. Mm-hmm. She was about 34 weeks when she got sick with what I believe turned out to be two different systemic infections.
Mm-hmm.
She was unable to eat. She was able to get a little bit of water down, but she was very dehydrated and having yeah. early labor symptoms again. She had them last month.
Right.
She was quarantined away from RD, but that left their mom taking care of both of them, her at one end of the house, RD at the other end of the house, to yeah. keep him infection free while he's still healing from his surgery. Little mama went back and forth to the hospital, to the doctors. She was in the emergency room a couple of times. She was in the doctor's office a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
She eventually went to the hospital that she was going to be birthing at, that she had planned to have her birth at, which is a little further than the nearest one, and was admitted on Wednesday. And they were actually, she was so dehydrated that they yeah. infused her at the emergency room a couple of days before. She was again dehydrated. She was having a bunch of problems. And they hung antibiotics and had those going in. They gave her all this medication to strengthen Baby J's, which is his name. Baby J's, but we'll call him. They gave Baby J a bunch of medication through IV to her to strengthen his lungs because he was measuring at about 35 weeks.
Right.
Over 5 pounds, but his lungs were what they were worried about, of course, which is what you typically worry about for a preemie. They planned on giving her a C-section. If she didn't go into labor,
mm-hmm.
true labor, before then, they were going to give her a C-section 2 days later because of the complications she was having. It wasn't really safe for him to be in there any longer.
Right.
So he's got some health problems. He was born actually on Thursday. They took her in for C-section, and which was a day early, but he was starting to go into distress and they didn't want to wait anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born Thursday and he's okay. He's, you know, got some problems, but he's getting better every day. He's yeah. fighting. He's a strong little guy. His mom went home from the hospital today. She wasn't able to take him home.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get the results from some pretty scary tests. And so far, so good. It yeah. looks like he's going to be okay long term. He does have a long way to go. He's still getting oxygen. They were going to take him off that tonight. I'm not sure. She finally got to hold him today.
Well, and they've been reducing it right. as he goes.
The oxygen they were good. Giving him was just a little bit above what room oxygen is.
Mm-hmm.
He does have a feeding tube. And basically when they get him to be able to take a bottle is when he'll be able to come home. And they're expecting that to take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
He was 5 pounds, 8 ounces when he was born, 18 inches long. And that mm-hmm. child has some big feet. He has such big feet. He's going to be a tall boy. He mm-hmm. is. He's going to be gorgeous and tall. So again, I put out a call for prayers for Baby J and for LM. and people stepped it up and they prayed for both of them, mm-hmm. and they're doing okay. You know, she is devastated that he couldn't come home. She's terrified, scared, and worried, but she's got a really great support system. He's got a really great support system. So we're just being patient. Get that baby to eat so he can come home and be loved by his mama. It was just so exciting. He was born Thursday. She got to hold him for the first time on Sunday. She was dying to put her hands on that baby.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to have him in her arms, because she was able to touch him. She just right. couldn't hold him, and it was just killing her. I went in with her to the NICU, and when I was there with her on Friday, the look on her face was so conflicted. You know, she scrubs for 3 minutes, and then she can put her hands in, but she can't pick him up and yeah. hold him. So she's got her hands cradling his head and his feet just to have her hands on him. And the look on her face was, I want my baby.
Right.
Because you know her. You know little mama. Oh, and yeah. she is, that child, when she puts her mind to something, oh my gosh, she's fierce.
Yeah.
And the look on her face was, I want my baby. I want to pick my baby up, and I want to hold my baby. Right. And knowing that that was where he needed to be, she couldn't pick him up. He had all these tubes and wires coming out mm-hmm. of his tiny little body. He was where he needed to be. She wanted to hold him. And it was just heart-wrenching to watch that struggle play out across her face. And just being so grateful that I didn't have those issues when mm-hmm. my babies were born. I held them
yeah.
right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, not being able to touch him and then not being able to hold him. And now she's separated from him because he's 30 or 40 miles away in a different hospital, but he's where he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of hit me like, why on earth do I get so upset about the little things? And then I did it again tonight and the freezer went poopy on us. And I was freaking out and having a panic attack of hundreds of dollars worth of food. And I'm up there and I'm, you know, like getting a headache, a stress headache, and I'm like, well, huh, let's try and keep my perspective straight on this. It's food yeah. and it's the freezer and everybody in this house is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our prayers are focused on a tiny little baby fighting for his life. So you know what? Screw the food.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got lucky when my son Jay was born that he was... We had him naturally and
right.
he was immediately came out and laid him on his mom's stomach.
Yeah.
And we were immediately able to touch him and hold
yeah.
him. And had a very smooth delivery, very smooth recovery, very yeah. smooth, chaotic, but very
well,
smooth
yeah.
coming home. And so we were really blessed in that.
Yep.
Mine, I can't imagine having to wait
yeah.
like that.
I had to wait a little bit. I had both of mine cesarean section mm-hmm. due to complications. So they showed me the baby right away. Right. And then they had to sew me up and put me in recovery.
Yeah.
So I did get to see them right away and touch them right away. But then it was hours later before I got to see them and hold mm-hmm. them. But that was nothing compared to what she had to wait
yeah.
for. And we've got friends that have had even longer.
Yeah.
We had one friend that said, it'll be okay. I wasn't able to see my daughter for 3 days. And I wasn't able to, it was 72 hours. And I believe it was 3 weeks before she got to hold her daughter. And it just made mine seem laughable. I actually mm-hmm. was yelling at my then husband saying, I want my baby. I want them to bring me my baby right now. And it had been like 3 hours.
Right.
Wah. Wah, wah, wah. So it definitely, wow. It's amazing how something that should be so normal and easy and simple can get so complex, and it just becomes like a war of the worlds where this little baby's fighting to breathe, to eat, mm-hmm. to do all of these things. And it's just, I'm in awe. You know, he's been alive less than 3 days and he's fighting harder than I've ever fought in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely inspiring. So that's what we're dealing with right now. And on the upside, M comes home tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah. He's been on the road for the last 2 days with his grandparents, returning from his dad's house,
mm-hmm.
where LT is staying for another 3 weeks or so.
Right.
M wanted to come home early, get a job, hang out with his friends, you know, senior years next year. And his dad was agreeable to that. So mm-hmm. he actually comes home tonight. Yay. Can't wait to see my baby. I missed him. So we're very excited about that. And he's disappointed because he wanted to go and see the baby, but he can't see the baby right now. It's just parents and grandparents because that's what the baby needs. He needs lots of rest. Soon.
We're going to take a quick break.
Okie doke.
Play a promo. We'll be right back.
ERB.
Dear author, thank you for submitting your story, but I'm afraid we cannot use it at this time. It just didn't grab me. Grab you? You haven't had it long enough to read it yet. There must be a better way to put my stories out there for people to enjoy, but how? Form Letter Rejection Theater, with your host, Paulette Jackson. Join us each month as we bring you the best in previously unpublished short fiction, each tale brought to life with dramatic readings by the author and a full voice cast reading the dialogue. Coming soon to flrdpodcast.com.
Just wanted to take a quick second to talk about
Form Letter Rejection Theater.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We just call it FLIRT around the house. Yeah. FLRT.
And I have to stop and remember. Oh, wait, what? All right. What was the F for?
The FLIRT cast or Form Letter Rejection Theater.
Which, as you heard, as by our friend Paulette Jackson.
Yes.
Who we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And so she's an author.
Yes.
And
an unpublished author.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of mix up where people think that this is going to be authors coming on and reading their rejection letters.
Right. Which she's actually, she's actually entertaining doing that every here and there. I don't know if she will or not, but
dramatic readings of form letters, which would be great.
I know. But what she's actually doing with it is she's taking things that she's written and she is presenting them as audio dramas and releasing them that way.
Yeah. Full cast audio dramas and inviting other authors who submit their rejected works and have them played out.
Yep.
Yeah. Very cool.
And we're pretty excited because she had done an open casting call and we submitted auditions and we got picked.
Yay.
We're in it. And it's called The Divine Fire. That's episode one. And I remember when we were recording it, and I was thinking, well, I know what I'm going to get cast. And we always get cast as parents or, you know, whatever, married couples. So if I get cast in anything, I'll get cast in this one role. But I really loved the story. Mm-hmm. And I was coveting the lead role, which I didn't think I would get. But that's what I read for anyways.
Right.
And she actually picked me to do the lead role, Celeste. Very and awesome. I was so honored and so scared that I was going to screw up this amazing story. But she liked it so far. So, and then you play
Claude.
We have a cute scene.
So it's a lot of fun. And the site's up now. The feed's up now. You can go ahead and subscribe to it.
Yep.
And she'll be dropping the first episode like probably this week.
I think the 15th is when she's going to.
She was hoping.
I know.
And you'll automatically get it if you subscribe now.
Yes. So give it a try so you can enjoy the story and laugh at our acting.
Attempts.
Our attempts at acting. Yeah, right. My drama teacher would just shake her head at me. It's just really a wonderful story that I really enjoyed and so excited to be a part of it. So give it a listen. We also have some comments.
Woohoo!
Two of them I didn't spot because we don't really get comments. I forgot to look the last time we recorded. But we had feedback from Indiana Jim, who we got to meet at the Balticon 42.
Yes.
Convention that we attended. And he says, "Aw, you guys, heartfelt for the win. I wish I could hang out with you two all the time." And actually, we kind of do, thanks to Twitter.
Yeah.
We always know what's going on with him. He always knows what's going on with us.
When we get to hear his podcast, The Adventures of Indiana Jim.
Yep. Yep.
Very cool.
And then Scott says, man, I wish I had been there. Oh, well, next year for show. Well, I certainly hope so, Scott.
Yes.
I think that that is a necessary thing that you must budget and schedule for. And then Dave says, in response to episode 19, Viv R. A. College Graduate, which, honey, by the way, that was a really precious episode title.
You're welcome.
He says, congratulations on receiving your degree. Thank you, Dave. All right. Appreciate that. I kind of did downplay what that was in my life, but it really is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I should probably tell the rest of my family now, because I don't think I've told anybody. Maybe we'll have a little graduation party or something when everything simmers down.
There you
assuming.
Go. It's got to happen sometime.
Eventually. Please, God. Just a weekend. Just a weekend. That's all I ask. When it's convenient. We had an email too, didn't we, babe?
We did. An email from James, titled Another Great Podcast.
Yeah.
Who writes, so you guys get me hooked on the COH podcast, and now here's another must-have podcast for me.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. I've heard some comments about your blended family on the COH podcast, so I was familiar with the situation, but never knew there was a whole nother outlet for your guys' creativity and insights.
Aw.
Yeah. I too have a blended family, so I can definitely relate.
Mm.
A little about me. I'm a 50-year-old African-American man, and I've pretty much been into comic books and sci-fi my whole life. And when video games came out in the early 80s, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong, Defender, Stargate, Defender, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Quake 1 came out for the PC, I was hooked into that too. Played that for years, then Team Fortress, oh yeah. Half-Life, Team Fortress, Tribes. And my first MMO was Anarchy Online.
Ah.
I played that for about 6 months back in 05, discovered COX, and have been playing that ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I used to run a BBS, a bulletin board system, which grew to be the largest one in this area with 8 incoming phone lines. And back then, that was a feat.
Yeah.
I always wanted to run a BBS, but I never had the money that time. I was a kid, and you know, I wanted to, but I know I could talk my mom into getting extra phone lines into the house.
Yeah, that would have been a bit much.
But I dialed into a lot of BBSs and
mm-hmm.
ran up some rather big phone bills.
Your poor mother.
When I learned about the long distance system,
uh-huh.
and how, yeah, connecting from California to a board in Massachusetts. And spending 4 or 5 hours downloading video games
mm-hmm.
gets expensive.
Yeah. Again, I say, your poor mother.
That's around the time when I started building my own computers, because as my board expanded, I had to figure out a way, without spending a lot of money, to configure 8 serial ports on one computer when there's normally only 4.
Mm.
Awesome. Been rolling my own ever since. Oh, and people have some computers. He just calls them Frankensteins because people can relate. So I have 2 sons, 1 10 and 1 4.
Mm-hmm.
The older boy lives with my ex-wife about 45 minutes away from where I'm living now. The younger boy lives with me and my wife. So James Jr. comes over every weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
I pick him up around noon on Saturdays, drop him off around 2 on Sundays. He sometimes stays later on Sundays if there's something going on,
mm-hmm.
or comes over on Friday to spend 2 nights. We're working our way up to him spending a full weekend this summer.
Cool.
Very cool. And he actually ends up going into a lot of very personal information that I don't know that he necessarily wants us to share it with everybody.
It's a really powerful story,
mm-hmm.
what his experience is. And I'm a little protective of him. I don't know that I want to put his business all out there mm-hmm. for everybody, but it's... Not that it's uncommon or anything like that, but it's personal.
Mm-hmm. And so I really want to thank him for sharing this, because it did get really personal.
Yeah.
And so after that...
I was blown away with what he opened up to us mm-hmm. with. I was very touched.
So anyway, I love the podcast. I went back and downloaded all the ones I've missed and have listened to the first four so far.
Mm.
I was actually listening to the story of how you guys met yesterday on the way to James' house to pick him up. And when I got to the part where T was in the hospital and the events afterward, I actually got a little choked up.
We did too.
Yeah. It was a beautiful story. Fortunately, with a happy ending.
Yeah.
I thought about how people are in a crisis situation together, sometimes forge the strongest bonds, and I'm very happy it worked out the way it did for you two.
Mm.
The wedding story was also touching. I felt sorry about the reason why you had to move up your wedding, but it made Viv's mom so happy and probably brought so much joy to her life that it seems it was the best way that you could have possibly handled the situation.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Congrats to you two. The love and affection that you have for one another shines through, even when you're talking about COH. So hearing about what makes Jooch Jooch and Viv Viv and your lives together is completely enthralling to me. And I'm glad to have found you two in both the COH podcast and possibly even more so with Into the Blender.
Aww.
Wow. Then he goes into a bit more personal bits about his wife now and how happy they are together.
Yeah.
And how they came together, which is awesome.
Yeah. I was talking, what was it? A friend of ours on Twitter just met somebody, and he is, I think recently, I don't know how recently, split up, and he just met somebody new, and he's just, they're Twitter pated. It's the cutest thing ever. And just, you know, the burgeoning romance is really cute. And we were talking about it, and he was saying how he's had such a rough time with, you know, the separation and everything and being separated from his kids. They live with his mom, with their mom. And, you know, I just basically said, sometimes the roughest roads you have to take to get to the greatest rewards. And it's definitely true in my case, is that it was, you know, a long haul getting to you. And I'm really grateful that I did find you.
Mm.
And James says, you know, something similar in his story, which really touched me.
So he writes in here that he's very happy with his new wife, and they feel they are soulmates, an overused term to be sure. We have so much in common, and she's the yin to my yang. I actually met her through the Yahoo Personals 2 years after my divorce. And although we were careful at first, she was advised by her doctor that she would never have children. But lo and behold, 2 months into our relationship, she found out that she was expecting. So at the age of 38, she was going to become a first-time mom.
Wow.
We got married 18 months to the day that we met. And our son was 8 months old at the time. We wanted to get the pregnancy and birth out of the way first. Although I'm 50 and never expected to have a four-year-old son. And he was diagnosed with autism by age two. I've always told her that she was worth it. Any trouble, turmoil, stress, or strife, we'll face it together and come out the other side together.
Oh, I love that.
And in closing, go placidly among the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I had sent a response email to him because I was so touched by what he opened up, like I said before, what he, you know, spoke to us about. And the part about the soulmates being an overused term, I think if you're lucky enough to find somebody that you feel is your soulmate, scream it from the rooftops. Yeah. It's a blessing. I don't care if that phrase is used too often. Luckily, it's used a lot. You know, it's a good thing that we're able to find people that mean so much to us. So rock on with your bad self. I'm so happy that you found, you know, love again and a new family. And from the email, the stuff that we didn't read, you know, you and your ex are doing everything that you can to provide an open and loving relationship with your older son that lives with her. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
Great hearing from you. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. So if you'd like to give us feedback or comments or share your story, you can give us a call at 413-669-4720, or you can send an email to intotheblender@gmail.com. Or leave a comment at our site at intotheblender.com.
And if you want to send something that's just for us, please mark it that it's private.
Right.
And you can see we're very cautious because this is pretty personal stuff.
And it is.
We don't know how much people want out there.
Right. And we don't ever want anybody to be unprotected as far as, you know, we're all about the kids.
Yeah.
And we don't want to say anything that would make anything. Not that James said anything.
No.
Negative or anything hurtful like that, because he didn't. It's just that when I get an email like that, I'm kind of protective of the people. It really speaks to me. So
I guess I should really say, if you would like to share with everybody, please notate that in your email or voicemail or whatever that you don't mind sharing with everybody.
Because otherwise, we will probably keep portions of the email just kind of just between us.
But either way you want to go, we'd love getting the feedback.
We're
very honored that you'd share that with us.
Absolutely. So, have a great 2 weeks, and
all right,
we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And time goes nowhere when you're too
careful. Pod Safe theme song is You're My Girl by Sharif.
More info on this artist can be found at www.sharifmusic.com. That's SHARIFMUSIC.com.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.